Text or WhatsApp your view to Greg on 086 60 25000.
Caller says, I went to Carrickfinn Beach yesterday for a walk as I hadn't been there for a few weeks. I decided to do my walk along the fence which borders the airport and came back by the beach. 5 minutes into my walk, I decided to turn back. The dog poo was everywhere. Why are dog owners so inconsiderate? After all, it's their dog's mess, so why not take responsibility instead of getting aggressive when confronted? Okay, dog poo. Listen, it's only a small amount of dog owners that don't pick it up. Just because it's on the beach, it's still disgusting. Please pick it up. It's, you know, why? You wouldn't want your kid or your child or someone in your family to step in it. Why would you leave it behind for others to do so? I don't understand. Hi, Greg. The Four Provinces flag is representing Irish rugby. It's a line in the anthem, Ireland's call. Okay, brilliant. That makes an awful lot of sense, if that's the case. Okay, thanks for that. So apparently it's rugby fans putting them up. Who puts the flags up, though? Because they go up on poles and all. Are you behind it? Why do you put them up, of course? Maybe this listener says it's because of Irish rugby. But as I say, they're pop up all over the place. So it's done in some sort of an organised fashion, I think. A caller says, I have two amazing home helps that come to my mother and I have another two who simply want to get paid without showing up. They complain about everything and are in and out within 7 minutes for a half hour visit. There is no reflection of it. This is not a reflection of all home helps, and a lot of them are genuinely very caring. However, some are just there for the money, and if you complain, you're threatened with no care. I've heard this before, by the way. Some people are afraid to upset the apple cart if they're not getting a proper service because they're threatened with the care being withdrawn. So what happens in that process? Just so we can get to the bottom of it and maybe call it out or expose it if it needs exposing. Why complaining? What is the circumstances that if you complained about the home care you're receiving or that your loved one's receiving, that care could end up being withdrawn altogether? Help me understand that, please, so we can shine a light on that. This caller says it's a catch-22 situation mostly. They go on to say that I feel the standard of care definitely is slipping, and when I retire, the home helps will probably just wave in the window and drive on at that stage. Yeah, I get where you're coming from. Hi, Greg. Just got an ESB bill. €520 for a bungalow with two people living here. I rang them. They said my contract was up and I was paying full whack. They said they're not obliged to let the customer know the contract is up, so I lost my 10% discounts in September. I think this is really underhand. Let your listeners beware to keep an eye out on their contract. Yeah, really very important. Switch every year with all of this stuff. Electricity, broadband. It's not like the old days where you're without internet for 5 or 6 days. Switch your broadband, switch your internet. Switch your home insurance. Make sure if you get home insurance that you cover the cost of rebuilding your house. Don't say, oh, 80 grand and that'll do. If it costs €380,000 to rebuild your house, insure your house for €380,000 because that's, you know, you will need that money. God forbid the worst were to happen. But shop around. Great savings to be made in that area as well. Your car insurance, shop around. You'll save hundreds every year if you do. Now, none of us have the money to spare, do we, to waste hundreds of euro. But shop around. Don't be loyal to particular phone companies or all the broadband services are pretty equal. They're all using the same lines. They just switch from one company to another. Now, of course, in terms of cost of support and what have you, there is a variation. But look, if you've got fibre into your door, it's all the same line. It's just a different company that you are paying. I'm very keen to sort of have a word on to get some of your comments yesterday about the football, because we had Oisin Kelly on and we had Brendan Devaney on, and we were discussing, you know, the future for Donegal. Brendan Devaney, I think, kind of is of the view, don't want to paraphrase it, but he's a former inter-county player as well, of course, that, you know, don't get your expectations up for any major titles in the foreseeable. Oisin, of a little bit more optimistic, he's saying, look, get over the first game in Ulster. Who's to say you couldn't make it to a final and pull it off on the day? I think I'm paraphrasing correctly there as well. But a caller says, or not a caller, all of you are saying, Greg, I agree with the texter. Lads should be called for trials to play for Donegal, not pick plenty. Very good club player sitting twiddling their thumbs. I think it's time these managers opened their eyes. Can they focus on the ladies also? 2 points from three halves of football and beaten out the gate on Friday, and the manager blames the ref. Let me see, there's a mixture here, of course. Right. Okay. I'll actually just go through different varieties. I thought they were all the same, but they aren't. Greg, no matter what any experts say, the banks are predestined to fail. The elite want to get rid of the American dollar and bring in crypto as the only currency. It's only a matter of time. I think crypto's really gone out of favor now, to be honest with you. And all the big players that were backing it before seem to have moved away now. Hi, Greg. Is it just me, or do any of your listeners think there's a deliberate pattern involving within our government politicians evolving regarding political debates? Insofar, they rarely answer questions, continuously interrupt the opposition, even to the point of nearly shouting them down, and flagrantly boast about what they have done for the country. I think that's down to the moderator. I think more of a problem I have is that politicians now, senior politicians, very well-paid politicians, ministers, don't want to go on radio stations and be questioned about decisions that they make. And they certainly don't want to go on with other listeners. Some don't want to go on at all. That's their choice. Some don't want to engage with other politicians. So I think some of it's down to the moderation. But other people, you know, if they don't like the way things are going, if they feel their things aren't going their way, or they don't like the blowback from some of the decisions they make, they simply disengage with certain media or certain radio programs. Is that fair? I mean, you pay their wages. I mean, do you not pay their wages to hear from them? But some of them believe they're above it. Okay, above being questioned about certain things. So German bishops in the Catholic Church have voted to bless same-sex marriages with bishops in Austria, Belgium and Holland to follow suit. No surprise. There, with one third of the clergy in Europe throughout thought to be gay. Will Irish bishops be next to defy the Vatican and bless homosexual and lesbian unions? What's Bishop McGuckian's view? Well, we can certainly look at that issue. Back to football. The top four teams in the county, four players on the county team seem strange. There seems to be a lot of disquiet too about some of the selection that's happening. We also heard yesterday about the wife of a footballer, as they were described, praising her daughter who stood up to a bully and punched them in the face. And we sort of asked, what do you think about that? Should it be celebrated or what have you? This caller says, my grandson was being punched every day and I told him to turn around and punch him back as hard as he could. That was years ago and they ended up friends. A lot of what is called bullying is just kids being little brats and schools expecting everyone to love each other. Just a pity they are not learning all these lessons naturally. There are some children that are vulnerable and it's perfect to look out for those. But in the main, kids can sort their own problems out, says the listener. Let me see here. Britain and America are not going to go against Israel because of the profit between these countries. And that is what it all boils down to. Ireland actually imports very little from it. So I see no point in a campaign that was talked about yesterday, boycotting Israeli goods. We started to boycott Russia and it served very little purpose in the fighting of the war in Ukraine. Until we get the bigger states behind the truth of what is happening, it is a wasted campaign. But you see, I suppose it's how one might feel as an individual in taking a stand or doing something. Back to football. Greg, what about the county board? Should they not be coming on your show to let the supporters know what is happening? At the minute, it just looks like a fiasco and their silence doesn't help the situation. Surely supporters who pay their hard-earned cash and travel long distances deserve to know what's really happening. Otherwise, you have all this speculation flying around. Really pleased to welcome into studio Gina Grant, who's chairperson of Down Syndrome Donegal, and her son, Christopher, who has Down Syndrome. Both of you, you're very welcome to the programme. Christopher, how are you?
I am good.
I see you in a school uniform, but I don't see you in school, so it's good to get the break from school, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. Christopher, you are a student in St. Eunan's College. You're in third year. How's school going for you?
It's very good. I'm in third year now. I can't believe that year flies. I'm so, happy. But I'm going to do by next year, so hope I get there. So.
Oh, yes, of course you will. And transition year is fantastic. And what's your favourite subjects at school, or what do you enjoy most?
Well, my favourite subject is art.
Yeah?
I love drawing and colouring and all. At house, I will colour and draw anything from my imagination or my mind. So.
Okay, so you could draw anything down on paper. You like to just think freely about it, do you?
Yes.
And you also love music, I think, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I'm afraid to ask you what music you like, can I? What music do you like?
I like a lot of songs. I like singing Proud Mary. If I was in the car, my mum always wanted to put on Primera for me, and I was like so happy and excited to see how long it would be to play music. But I love music, so.
Yeah, Proud Mary is a tough song to sing, though.
It is, yes.
I wouldn't fancy. Is it the Tina Turner version that you like?
Yes, I do.
All right, okay. That is a cracking song. A brilliant song at a wedding, too. It gets everybody up out dancing. And also, as well as school, you're very busy because you also have a weekend job as well, don't you? You work where?
I make a Henny's.
Okay. What do you do there?
Because I'm now cleaning, but now I'm at the kitchen now cooking. I cook like raw foods. I like cook like soup and quiches. And so, yeah, I'm really good at cooking, but sometimes it's really hard to follow instructions and see what's going on.
Yeah, but that's a good thing about learning, isn't it? Because, you know, cooking is complicated now, so it's good that you're getting that experience in McElhenney's, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you, what else do you like to do, Christopher?
I like going for walks.
Yeah?
Sometimes mum will tell me, like, take your brother for a walk or a dog. I would take them out for a walk, and at the weekend I will just be chillax at home, but sometimes I go out and walk, get my mind fresh out and all.
That's good. It's great. You've got such awareness for such a young person that you understand how important it is to get that fresh air and be at one with nature. And yeah, walking the dogs, did you say?
Yes.
What's the dog's name?
My dog's name is Kippard.
And who does the dog prefer, you or mum?
Well, it's me, but sometimes I feed her, so...
Okay, very good. And let me ask you, when you finish at St. Noonan's College or when you finish your education, is there any particular field you'd like to work in, or what would you like to do after you finish school, Christopher?
Well, I was about going to ETU.
Yeah?
I want to do like a bioscience, same as my brother.
Right, okay.
Because my brother's doing the same thing for ETU. I'm thinking that would be a really good day if I join in with them and see what's going on in their life, so...
Yeah, brilliant of two. But you also have to leave enough time to enjoy your passions of drawing, music and the outdoors.
Yep.
All right, okay. It's exciting times ahead. Gina, Christopher's mum, we are speaking on World Down Syndrome Day. How important are days like this? I often wonder, it would be great to get to a point where we didn't need a particular day or there wasn't a need to, or maybe we'll always need a day to celebrate. I don't know. What's your feelings?
Oh, I think any excuse to have cake. I love days to celebrate it. And to have World Down Syndrome Day for us is massive because it gives us a great positive reason to celebrate. And coming into the world of disability, especially intellectual disability, is very difficult when you see the barriers that we as a society put up and hold up for our members, and those with Down syndrome have huge challenges ahead. So World Down Syndrome Day opens the platform for people to discuss, opens a platform for awareness, opens the platform for people to ask the questions. And it helps society see that maybe inclusion, yes, is there in part, but we've still got a good way to go.
And what is inclusion, do you see? What when we get there, what do you see as inclusion being?
Everybody having a right to make a choice, and that choice being respected and supported. And unfortunately, when you come into intellectual disabilities, especially for those with Down syndrome, that isn't the case.
Yeah, and in terms of the education, because we talked about Christopher and his plans, you know, obviously...
Yeah, this is the first day I heard that he wanted to go to ATU.
Well, do you know what? That's why I'm a good interviewer, Christopher, because yeah. I get the information that even mums can't get. And I think it's lovely, too, that looking up to your brother and wanted to join in with what he's doing. Mm. But in terms of... Is it any more difficult for you than... I mean, do you face any particular challenges in terms of the sort of education, the funding of education, supports or what have you?
Well, parenting and education, and anybody who is a parent, especially of teenagers, know it's bloody hard regardless of disability. And it's really hard to kind of see, you know, to try and help that pathway open up. But especially for intellectual disabilities, there is no pathway currently for third level education. Right now, if Christopher was at age and did want to go to ATU, he wouldn't be able to. But that is changing, and that is something that we are pushing for now. Mm. There is no ability. There is a DARE program, but that's for those with physical or sensory It's not for those with cognitive or intellectual disabilities.
It's hard to believe that we're still pushing, having to push these things in 2023 with everything that everyone seems to be campaigning about. You think we would have got these simple things. They're not simple, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The basics correct, wouldn't you?
But that's where it's great to have days like this, because it opens up the platform for discussion.
Right.
And second level education as well, inclusion is much more difficult. Now, in national school and in prey groups and in preschool, it's accepted and it's normalised. And thankfully, the generations coming below are naturally assuming it's there. So there's no... But we still have a long way to go to support the post-primary schools, to support the ETBs and further ed, because there is no natural pathway there for those with intellectual disabilities. And the Pathway 4 programme that Simon Harris had given to third level education, and in fact I'm part of an NHEF group, it's a national group for those with intellectual disabilities, the first steering group in Ireland to set up, and the ATU Donegal has joined with Sligo and Mayo, and we actually have employed, they've employed a person to assist them to make a module and a pathway open, and hopefully in the future, in the next couple of years, we will see that availability for the first time in Ireland.
And what... Are we making progress?
Oh, definitely.
We are, okay.
Oh, 100%, yeah. There's still, that's what I mean, the areas that we have to go into is in choices of adults, respecting them, and employment places. And like currently now, we have HSE-funded services. I'm not knocking them, but that's the only choice that's there. And that's not fair. You know, that's where people with Down syndrome and people with intellectual disabilities across the board should be given full choice of having adult consensual relationships, which currently they're not allowed legally by law, to have employment choices respected, to have training choices respected. There's no reason.
To be respected as individuals.
Exactly.
And then if they are, we don't have to talk about the various branches in which they aren't being.
That's it. And in our healthcare system, we also need to provide adequate healthcare for those who have the extra chromosome, because research has shown that there's a specific health issues that will occur in them when they turn into adults, and that isn't currently being adhered to. And there is, I don't want to say neglect in the healthcare system to look at this resource, but there is definitely areas of need that need improvement, because we know that the extra chromosome can cause specific health issues. So they should be aware of that whenever they go into different health centres and different health fields, and that currently isn't the case. But these are all avenues that need to be, and as each year progresses, the World Down Syndrome Day was stamped approval for worldwide on 2011. And look how far we've come. Christopher, and there's another young student in there with Down syndrome in St. Junan's, and they're thriving. And our members and our families are so positive and happy, and we have a reason to celebrate.
And I'm not a big fan of the catch lines and the hashtags and stuff, but I like this one, with us, not for us.
With us, not for us. Because, and I also like the See Me campaign. Because
Well, the See Me, and also too, we had the book there's the tie-in with McElhenney's there. That was just a beautiful piece of work. That's still available, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I just thought that was lovely.
But that's where we need to go forward. We need to see the person, not the syndrome. And we need to bring people with Down syndrome out of, you know, not behind closed doors, but out of the comfort of not knowing, give them a voice, give them the ability to advocate for themselves.
And also too, you know, we talk an awful lot about, and quite rightly so, what the HSC needs to do, what the government needs to do. Sometimes look introspectively, what do we as humans need to do? How do we view other people that are different, or, you know, not different, but you know what I'm on about. I'm trying to use language that resonates with the point I'm trying to make. That, you know, or we see past something, or we are inclusive, or, you know what I mean? We as a society, us as humans, too, have a role to play in that. Everything can't be legislated for or funded or whatever. A lot of it's about, and I think the book and other initiatives do great work in that regard.
I think the book does, and I think it's to have people see there's a person behind the syndrome. The syndrome doesn't collaborate the personality of the person that they are. Christopher has an extra chromosome. That's only, he's 46 other chromosomes. that one extra chromosome does not create who he is. The environment he grew up in, the people he's around, the expectations that are put on him. And Christopher is adorable and I adore the bones of him, but he equally drives me demented in the house. He is a typical teenager. And there's times that you go...
Hold on, you know, Chris, he's in the room, Gina. We have to give Chris...
I know, but I'm saying that that extra chromosome doesn't negate everything else. And a society that we have to start looking now at the diversity, we have to start accepting it. And don't be frightened.
Can I ask a question just talking about the change of mindsets? Obviously, we had an actor whose name escapes me at the moment with Down syndrome who did very well, was in an Oscar-winning short
James
film.
James Martin.
James Martin, thank you very much, Gina. And then we have a new film. Woody Harrelson's got a new film.
Yeah, Champions.
What is the view on? I mean, obviously, James Martin, that's different because it just goes to show what everyone can achieve. But just then, films that sort of films, is that good?
Sometimes, yes, of course it is. Whenever it's like everybody needs a tribe. And whenever you seen James Martin won the Oscar, the fellow with Down syndrome, what was it you were shouting in the sitting room?
Oh, about the Down syndrome. Like when I was like sitting on the sofa, mum and dad was sitting on the side beside me. I was like saying that, telling me ma, but currently I was shouting over to my brother Aaron. It's like, I love you, Aaron, and mum and dad.
No, you said that could be me. That's the phrase I have all that. Yeah. You shouted, yes, that could be me. Yeah. And that's exactly what everybody wants to aspire to.
I'll tell you, I have no doubt it could be Christopher, the way things are going, between being an artist
he's
or a
dramatic
chef
enough
or whatever. the Oscar for drama goes to.
But no, it's just to see, and I think society just needs to lift their nervousness of saying the wrong thing and the nervousness of, I don't know what to say or do, or, the whole head tilt whenever somebody has a child
and
with
the
a disability.
And yet we're getting into a world now where everyone's extra cautious of everything that has to be said. And then obviously we don't normally, as people, feel we can make the right choice at the right time. Mm. Do you know what I mean? But anyway, Christopher's well able to stand up for himself, certainly to you, Gina.
Definitely. And that's where we need. We need those themselves who have to face the world for them to be the ones to advocate for themselves.
And I think it is give people, give Christopher the opportunities.
Yes.
And he will knock it out of the park.
And respect his right to make a mistake.
Yeah.
Respect his right to fail. Respect his right just to live, the same as all the rest of us do.
Right, Christopher, listen, I'll not hold you very much longer. Your mother mentioned cake. Is there going to be cake later?
This is the first year. This is the first year in life that I haven't got him a cake for World Down Syndrome Day.
Well, why did you decide to mention it on the radio station?
why?
People, celiac is really, really hard to get a gluten-free cake, and I'm no good at a baker. But
right, so shall we find out if there's any proper cake? The right cakes out there.
Yeah.
But anyway,
if anybody has a gluten-free cake that I can buy anywhere, so this child isn't depressed.
You made the rod for your back, Gina. Did you mention cake, Christopher? I never mentioned cake.
I never have mom mentioned cake in the entire life of all time.
It was Gina that mentioned the cake today, nobody else. So
every year I used to bring a cake to school. Every year we had cake.
Me and Christopher are innocents in this. Now you've got to get it. And I know you're not very busy, so you've plenty of time to get a cake.
Cupcakes and Tesco's, we're going there.
All right, Christopher, do you want to say hello to anyone, any of your work colleagues at McElhenney's?
Yes, I want to say hi to my friend Miko in my St. Eunice, and I want to say thanks to Sandra, who is my manager in McElhenney's. I want to thank everyone who's working at McElhenney's, and thank everyone for listening. So.
And mom
as well.
Okay, very great. Christopher, anything you want to do, you will do. I can see it. Whatever you want to do, you set your targets, you'll do it. I can see that in you. There's no doubt about that. You're a fine young man, and we appreciate you coming up. Good luck with your studies.
I will.
Good luck with getting the cake, the right cake, Mum. Is there a bit of a party at the weekend?
Yes, there
Talk
is.
To us about that.
This is the first time since pre-COVID. It's fabulous. We celebrate. The association celebrate our members and the fact we're all together and we've met so many friends and we've had so many positive experiences, more than negative, in this journey. So we're celebrating on World Down Syndrome Day. Our party is going to be in Mount Errigal. this weekend. We have a group of other parents organising it.
400 people go into it, over 400.
At the minute, yeah, that's, we've had to, yeah, we haven't had, we've had always around 250, but this year everybody wants to get together. We've all missed that, that contact, and we've all missed that, you know, that celebration. So.
Hopefully they play Proud Mary, that's the only thing I'm worried about here.
He can sing it anyway, even if they don't.
All right. Christopher, listen, thanks so much for calling up. Is there so, you've got something on the tip of your tongue you want to say? Go on, say it.
Yeah. Well, I hope Mum get kicked for today.
Don't you know Mum kick?
I actually do, Mum. So if Tommy want to say to me, get kicked, get cake.
Well, listen, we've set the Northwest out looking for a cake. So.
Can I just say, if we don't limit people with Down syndrome. He can bake his own cake. Flowers and ice.
She always says that.
Well, and she's right, because Mum is always right. And I hope... You got cake for Mother's Day, didn't you? Know you can't expect a cake if Mum doesn't get a cake. So, did you get a cake? Please tell me you got a cake, Gina.
Cupcakes.
You receive what you give. All right, listen, Christopher, enjoy the rest of your day. Best of luck with everything. I'm sure we'll chat really, really soon. And enjoy the party at the weekend, and make sure throw some shapes, or however young people describe dancing nowadays. And Gina Grant, Chair of Down Syndrome Donegal, it's always a pleasure to have you of course. And I know you're incredibly busy today, so we appreciate you squeezing us in.
Thank you so much.
Christopher, good luck to you. Bye. All right, welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Now, as we heard at the top of the show, less than half of stalking victims report incidents to Gardaí. Many members of the study had a general lack of trust in An Garda Síochána regarding gender-based violence, or a fear that they would not be believed. We're joined on the programme now by Mary Doherty of Lifeline Inishowen. And good morning to you, Mary. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Now, when I was talking about some of the statements coming from people and their experience with the Gardaí and what have you, I was minded of a lot of interviews that I've done with people involved in this area in our county, in our region. And I just wonder, are things a bit better maybe in Donegal than they might be elsewhere? Or am I maybe being unfair to victims of this awful crime?
Well, from the services we've provided and it's shown over the last 28 years. And I have to say, there is a change in the last 10 years. Previous to that, I would have been 100% behind them there. But things are changing. And people are afraid to admit. You know, as I say, we work with families who've been abused. And we all know that when someone has been abused, they are psychologically abused. They're convinced that nobody will believe them. So to go to the Garda then, they're convinced nobody will believe them because they're told it all the time. Now, in our experience, the Garda definitely have improved. They're learning more. They're becoming more aware. They're working more with the community. And we have to be realistic too. Garda are human, and we are going to get people that aren't going to... No matter what service you're providing, there's always going to be one or two who will dismiss people for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But in general, I have to say, we have found that there is an improvement. There's more awareness. They're more involved with their service, definitely, and I'm showing. And they're willing to listen.
Now, just in relation to... Mary, I appreciate your time. Over half of the perpetrators have been partners or ex-partners of the victim.
Yep.
I thought it would be more, but it's around 52%. Do you think now, too, that people are more aware that they are victims of something? Do you know what I mean? Rather than in the past, before we knew the words and had the conversation, he or she won't give up, or she wants me back, or this, that and the other, and never categorised it correctly as abuse, that it's affecting their lives, it's affecting their well-being. Like, are we more aware of it, that it's unacceptable, and are quicker maybe at some point to call it out for what it is?
Oh, without a doubt, there's more awareness out there. And I think we just need more awareness with young people within this group. That's where it should start. You know, before people go into jobs, whether it's a Garda, whether it's social welfare, whatever. Yes, there is more awareness out there. What was the other thing you asked me? Sorry, Greg.
No, that's it, that we have a name for it, that we realise that it's not just a nuisance or an annoyance, that it is an offence.
Yeah. But the thing about it is, you have to realise These people are being manipulated all the time, and they're being told nobody will believe you. And they actually believe that themselves.
Yeah.
So it's very hard for them to go anywhere, even to a service, to admit that this is happening. Now, we have quite a few people who ring in and ask, is this normal? Mm. There's still people out there who aren't 100% sure. I don't know why, because there is more awareness, as you said. And I do think that training and awareness, to me, is the only thing that's going to change. And when I'm talking about training awareness, we need to start. The Garda have a great program. Well, what is it called now? Sorry, Be Kind Online. It's a primary school program. And I've just got it recently. And oh my goodness, I just think that is very exciting. And it's the Garda who are doing this.
Yeah, and also
and
to...
And I don't think we highlighted enough.
Yeah, and when we talk about the word stalking, right, this is not just someone messaging, you know, why aren't you answering my calls? You know, why don't we get back together? Or even some might message, you know, I was having this conversation there not so long ago saying, you know, if you don't answer my call, I'll kill myself or something like that there.
Yeah.
And then it can get to threats. It can be sharing intimate images. You know, that whole area of harassment and stalking, it can be incredibly negative and impactful on the victim's life, can't it? It can get really, really bad.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, that is very overpowering. It affects their mental health. It disempowers them in their lives. And I think that people don't realise what stalking means. I think you have said it all. But in all honesty, I think people in general, you say stalking, what's that? Do you know what I'm saying? So maybe it's just we need to make it highlighted.
Yeah.
It's like different forms of abuse. People think that abuse is just sorry, that sounded awful, but they feel as when somebody has been attacked. You know, they don't realise it means stalking, financial abuse, sexual abuse, all of that.
Yeah, and of course now too, with social media, with mobile phones, with people creating secondary accounts and all that type of stuff, cloned accounts, like people, there's no escape from it. And I think that's why the definition of stalking has changed so drastically. I understand why, Mary, that this report has been published. And I understand, too, that it is designed for things to change. My only concern when reports like that are issued, that actually it might discourage people from making a report. What is the point? Sure, there's been a big study and over half the people thought that there was no point going to the guard, so why should I? So, as I say, I understand that's not the motivation of reports like this, but I fear really what they actually do is potentially discourage more victims from coming forward, because what's the point? That's not the experience that you have, Mary. You're encouraging people not to suffer in silence.
The reason I came on, really, Greg, was just to let people know, no, there are changes. The guards are moving on. They're doing things now that they never did before. And do have confidence in them. Like, as I say, contact the service. And if you feel that the guards aren't listening, the service will support you in going to the Garda even. So there's all of that out there. As you said, I don't want it to put people off.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want
That's
to be
my
going
worry.
Backwards
yeah, exactly.
Instead of
we
forward.
Don't come forward. And I've spoken to some of the team on this program. They will meet people in plain clothes. They will come up with, they will do check-ins. There's loads of different things that they do in this county. There's some amazing people involved in it. And as I say, I don't want, if people have had a negative experience, I don't want to sound like I'm against them. I'm not. Let us know. And I'm sure, look, the guards are always prepared to learn. Finally, Mary, just at Lifeline in a show and, obviously there are certain triggers for more people being in distress, tightening finances can cause an awful lot of problems in a home and what have you. Anything lately at the moment, Mary, that we should be aware of in terms of trends or what's happening or what you're seeing?
Well, we just found COVID had an awful effect.
Yeah.
I mean, that isolated people further into what they were living with. And funny, I met a woman just today and she was just saying that the things that keep people back are finances. Now, the homeless, I mean, we were talking about the homeless earlier on. Mm. We had clients and we couldn't find any accommodation for them. Mm-hmm. The refuge was full. I mean, it's just scary.
Yeah.
And but the only good thing is the services are there. Please use them.
Come forward, yeah.
They will support, please. And it's just that, yes, in general, as you know, Greg, anyway, COVID has affected so many people in so many ways, but especially people who are in this situation, they have maybe felt they can't get out.
Yeah. And so you know, it's so important, right, that leopards generally don't change their spots. And we know that certain types of behaviour, they escalate. And it's one thing after another. And over time, it can get worse. And get out. Get out before before it escalates.
And the support's there now. Yeah. Now, one of the things I do want to highlight, and I keep highlighting it, is people say, oh, it's all to do with drink and drugs. Sorry. The abuse is there. That only escalates through the drugs and the alcohol. It escalates. It gets worse. But it's there without the drugs or alcohol. All right. Does that make sense?
It does, of course. It does. Yes, I get exactly what you're saying.
You know, people have this myth. It's only people who drink that abuse. Sorry, that's not the case.
Yeah. No, no, it's an important point, Mary, and I understand exactly where it's coming from. Mary Doherty, yes, go ahead.
Our guards are great.
Okay. Right, take care, Mary.
Okay, and on the show. Thank you.
Take care. Mary Doherty of Lifeline in a Show, and we appreciate you coming on to react to that study. Shirley Ann joins us on the programme now. Thanks for joining us, Shirley Ann. I appreciate it.
Hello, Greg. How are you doing?
Good. Now, you've issued a warning to the residents of Sion Mills. Tell us what was discovered.
A bag of drugs which seem to resemble either cocaine or the drug called speed.
And where was it found, Shirley Ann?
It was literally found across the street from my mother's house. My mother actually lives where the drugs were actually found. I was getting out of the car. I had the wee girl with me. I was just calling down. My mum wanted me to call down. And whatever, something grabbed my eye as I turned around and looked and I seen the bag on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, I know what that is. Do you know what I mean? So the wee girl was in the car. So I says to my mum, you know, I'm going to lift this and get this out of the way. And she was like, what is it? And I says, mum, it's a bag of drugs. She was looking away. She's at that sort of, you know, age where she, you know, she's never seen any of this kind of thing, you know, whereas I've drawn drug courses and, you know, I work with the Special Olympics and things like that, and I'm sort of aware of these things. And I could not get over it. I thought, what if a child lifts that up or an innocent animal comes along and eats it? Like, that could be a certain fatality. And I got it, and then I contacted a good friend of mine, Andy Patton. He's running for local councillor in the Derg Lane, area. And there actually is, I don't know if this is available everywhere, but it should be. It's a bin that's located up in the Sion Mill shop, and it's to dispose of any type of drugs, whether it be prescription that's no longer being used, or if it's illegal substances that could be found on the street or found anywhere, which is, it's absolutely brilliant because it's taken to the police, lift it, and it be analysed and find out, you know, what the actual substance is. I think that's really, really good because some people lift it and they don't know what to do with it, and it should be disposed of correctly.
And I think you're highlighting this and raising this issue. It kind of feeds into a conversation we were having earlier on. It started the conversation about how commonplace and widespread drugs are. Yes, this is a baggie that was dropped, and thankfully you found it before a child or an animal consumed it or took it. But, you know, it started that conversation about how damaging drugs are, but how widespread their availability is.
Yes, do you know what? Like I was chatting about before as well to certain people, everything's changing in economy at the minute. Drugs are changing, people's changing. Like, it would really scare you what's actually in these drugs.
Especially as a
parent.
These
drugs are full. Yes, you know, I'm a mother of six children. And I try to make them aware. I have two special needs that one wee boy wouldn't even think. He would just pick it up And he'd be like, what's that? It looks like sweets. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And parents need to be more aware of this. Not only do they need to be aware of how easy it is to find on the streets, how much is being distributed out in the local communities. Like, there is drug dealers everywhere. Once they give you product and you give money, you're no concern to them, and they don't care about your health, your welfare, the short or long-term damages these drugs can actually do and affect a person.
And let's talk a little bit about the short-term side of it too, Shirley Ann, because look, they will cut this stuff. They buy this product raw. They will cut it and cut everyone down the line, cuts it until it eventually ends up on the street. Anything could be through that. The same with tablets. They're cut with, or mixed with, really is the phraseology. They're mixed with all manner of harmful substances. It only takes, and this is the scary part for me, Shirley Ann, everyone sort of, you know, through their lives experiments or takes chances or whatever, but it only takes one line of this drug or one tablet being taken, and that could be it, wipe out. Do you know what I mean? That's what really worries me, because a lot we talk about the addiction, and if someone gets addicted and that happens, and we can not take our eye off the ball, don't get me wrong, but it's like the one punch incident. The one taking incident could be enough when your children are out from under you, not in eyesight, and that could be it.
You see, that's it, Greg. You know, like, I know families that have unfortunately lost loved ones due to, it might have been a one night out, took one tablet, next morning they were found, and it is completely devastating for any family to go through that. And then you've got people out in the street handing these things out to children that, and adults, not just children, adults as well, which they don't know what they're taking. Now, in some ecstasy tablets, there's actually ketamine, which is a horse tranquilizer. A horse tranquilizer. And that, a child takes that. There's washing powder. There's so many different ingredients in these things that are so harmful to the system. Not only, it can leave you with a mental disability. You could be left with permanent brain damage. Not to mention what the family is left with. They don't think of the aftermath of these things. Yes, so well and so good, you take them on the night, you could be fine. But it's that percentage of people that actually aren't fine, that either die from taking this stuff or are left seriously life-altering changes. This is what what angered me so much was the fact that obviously whoever, whatever individual dropped this, they didn't want to drop it, you know. But the fact is, people are walking about the streets with this kind of stuff in their pockets. Again, for a poor, innocent individual to come along and pick up. But what I want to see is, I find the justice system with these things, yes, a lot of things has brought on mental health and things like that. Mental health is one thing, but taking drugs, look, there's help out there. There's lots of organisations that you can go to get help. But when these things happen, what we've seen around Sion Mills because of this, like, this isn't the first case of this. What happens is it ends up being drug and alcohol-fueled parties. They come out. There's been cases of drink driving under the influence of drugs. Accidents have happened. Ambulances have been called, or police have been called, but what do they get? They don't get anything what I would call as punishment. Mm. It's a slap on the wrist, a suspended sentence, and they go back and they do it again. Mm-hmm. Where's it going to end? To the point where they're going to end up killing themselves or killing some innocent person.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because of these drugs.
I think communities need to get together and drive the drugs out of the communities. It's I'd have my concerns, and I still retain my concerns that drugs are relatively cheap, and younger people are choosing drugs over drink. Now, I do know it becomes very expensive, and it's beyond the reach of money when they get very addicted. But I kind of know, to be honest with you, I know because I speak to young people. I know that a lot of young people now are switching away from drink to drugs, and it's perfectly acceptable. And coke is seen as a recreational drug.
Life.
Exactly. Mm. And I think unless we start sort of realizing that, and it's all different types of people from different backgrounds. It's right through our community now, and we need to find a way to rid our community of it. Shirley Ann, thank you for helping us in raising awareness and making some really, really good points there, and we really appreciate your time.
No bother, all right, Greg.
Take care, and best wishes to you and all the family. Thank you very much indeed, Shirley Ann McDonald there. 08660 25,000 WhatsApps and texts to that number. A caller said, I advise people not to eat potatoes now anyway unless they are organic because they're sprayed all to death for blight and everything else. And I've seen it firsthand. A lot of stuff we consume is, though, isn't it? Another caller says, I would have thought less people eat potatoes now than ever. They are no longer considered a main ingredient in our diet. I couldn't tell you the last time I actually made or ate potatoes. So what's switched in? Is it pasta? Because I'm trying to think. Rice or pasta? What else can you have instead of potatoes? Everything that tastes nice is bad for you anyway. Potatoes are delicious, cut into little slices and fried with salt and vinegar. They're delicious. Mashed with butter and salt. Absolutely delicious. Then you can pack them into little pâtés, fry them, potato cakes, beautiful. Waffles, delicious. Yeah, they're too nice to be good for you, aren't they? Anyway, everything's good for you in moderation, I suppose. Greg, I've just discovered we've a bird nest in our extractor fan. Just wondered, what can we do, or is it a case of having to leave them now? And I'm not being facetious. I had that problem and I've about 10 years ago and I've never used the extractor fan since. Anyone, what can you do with birds nesting in your extractor fan? We'll maybe mention that one again in the morning just in case we are too late to get a response now. Look, that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much for making another really busy show. We talked about everything, didn't we? We do that every day here, and hopefully you enjoy it. You continue to listen, which is great. Anything you want to talk about, you know the numbers. We're back tomorrow morning at 9. Have a lovely Tuesday, will you? And stay safe. Thanks for listening, as I say, from me, Caroline and Anya. See you later.